I'm asking her for some of her remembrances of the Congregational Church in Salisbury, and also any old remembrances of Salisbury itself.
Well, of course, I was born and brought up here, so I go back quite a little way. And my whole family had belonged to the Congregational Church. My great-grandmother and grandfather were members of the church.
Wonderful.
And that goes back a few years. And my earliest recollection of the church building itself was back in the days when the organ was up in the front on the left-hand side of the pulpit as you face it, and was dark wood. In fact, I may be wrong about this, but I have sort of an impression that the church was a bit gloomy in those days because of the dark woodwork, and in contrast to our light, airy appearance now. And the organist in those days was Dr. Knight, who was head of the school up by the Catholic Church in Lakeville, which had that horrible name of School for Imbeciles.
Right.
I think that was dreadful.
Right.
But he did a very fine job up there, and he was a marvelous organist. And one of the students in the school, whose name was Ike, used to come and pump the organ for him every Sunday. And he always said, Dr. Knight and I makes the musics. And he really did, because you couldn't play that organ without somebody pumping it. There's a very famous story told about what Dr. Knight did one Sunday, and I'm not going to swear to the authenticity of this, but I heard the story many times, and it's a good story, and I think should be retold. Apparently, Dr. Knight was a graduate of Yale University, and Yale had a number of years of poor results in the game, that's the football game with Harvard. And this one year, Yale finally won. And Dr. Knight was exuberant. And he always had a very good postlude at the end of the service. And he started out this one Sunday, so the story goes, in a proper manner. And he got through a few bars of it, and he couldn't stand it any longer. And the church emptied very quickly to the strains of Bula Bula. Now, I'm not going to swear that that actually happened, but it's a good story, and I think should be...
That's good.
Should be kept in the files. I went to Sunday school there, of course, as a small child. And we didn't have Sunday school rooms. Our class met in the pews in the front of the church or in the back. And we must have been a little bit obstreperous, because it seems to me we had quite a number of different Sunday school teachers in later years. They didn't last long. But the early years, kindergarten years, were simply wonderful. We had two teachers who put up with us and loved us, and we knew they loved us. And one was Mrs. Julie Landon, wife of Judge Landon, and the other one was Mother Hubbard. I don't really know what her right name was, but everybody called her Mother Hubbard.
I remember we called her Mother Hubbard.
Everybody did. And she lived in the house that was right next door to the then Maple Shade.
Yeah, Regamont now.
Now Regamont. And she was a motherly soul. And she loved us all. How she put up with us, I don't know. But we thought she was great. And in those years, Sunday school used to be after church. And while Mother went to church with me, she didn't stay for Sunday school, she went home. See about Sunday dinner, I suppose. And I walked home, of course. I walked up. And it makes me smile when I think of it now. And the reason that we walked, and it was a mile each way, was because the horse had worked all week, and the horse needed a day of rest.
Right.
We didn't, and the walk was good for us.
Yeah.
Anyway, I walked home, and I had been sitting in church for an hour, and then Sunday school for an hour, and those pews were not very comfortable. They haven't improved any through the years either, I might add, in comfort.
Yeah.
But I'd wiggle at the dinner table. And incidentally, dinner had started before I got home because grandfather was used to having it at a certain hour, and that was about 15 minutes before I could get home. So my dinner was kept warm in the oven. I was very fond of my grandfather, but he was pretty inflexible. Maybe I was too, I don't know. Maybe I'm getting that way. Anyway, I'd wiggle at the table, and grandfather would look at me over the top of his glasses and want to know what was the matter, why wasn't I sitting still? And I said, well, the pews weren't very comfortable in the church. And he'd say, you weren't supposed to be comfortable in church. And I guess maybe you weren't, but that was all the sympathy that I got. Where are we now? We're walking around the world with you.
Yeah, I think we're still in Sunday school.
And I have to go back another generation here. Speaking of Sunday school, this wasn't Sunday school. But Dr. Goddard's wife, Mrs. Goddard, the first Mrs. Goddard, mm-hmm. had a young man's class, young man's Bible class, which was very well known in those days. And I think those young men were in their early 20s, very late teens and early 20s. My father was a member of that class, and so was Bert Roberts and Malcolm Rudd. I was just talking with Malcolm's daughter, Marcia, this morning on mm-hmm. the telephone and happened to mention
it. Oh. Yeah.
And when they had finished this course, they loved it, those young men. And Mrs. Goddard, they felt, was something very special. But she presented each one of them with a Bible with an inscription in her handwriting in the front. And I had it for many years after my father died. And it's a cherished possession of my daughter's now.
Yeah, good.
And that's sort of a nice thing to keep through the years.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Am I going too fast?
No, I'm doing fine.
Well, then we go on sort of, I go by leaps and bounds to the war years, the First World War. And that was, I don't remember who had been the organist after Dr. Knight. But during the war years, at least she substituted a great deal, was Laura Chapin Allen, whose father had sung in that church, soloist in the summer, and was soloist in a big church in Brooklyn in the wintertime. And Mrs. Allen played the organ. At least part of the time in the war years, her husband was serving overseas in the Coast Guard, no field artillery. And she had a young people's choir, actually a children's choir. And she trained us to sing simple songs that we rendered rather well, looking back on it, as I remember. But one Sunday, something happened to the electricity, and there was no organ. And Dick Rudd and I volunteered to pump the organ, which by that time was in the back of the church, and the sun was pouring into that tower room where the organ machinery was kept. And he and I pumped in there. Our mothers had sent us to church clean and fresh and neat and tidy. And I don't think either Mrs. Rudd or my mother recognized their childhood. Oh, it was so hot. All right. I'd like to go back to the Sunday school and talk a little bit about Thomas Lott Norton, whose plaque is on the wall in the sanctuary now. But we didn't know him as Mr. Norton, and certainly not as Mr. Thomas Lott Norton. He was Uncle Tom to everybody, and was all the children, and was superintendent of the Sunday school in my early years, and everybody loved him. And I don't think there was a child in the town of Salisbury that didn't love him, who knew him. And when he died, the whole town grieved, and it was my first experience with a funeral. And the Sunday school marched from the church to the cemetery carrying flowers, and all the way up we sang his favorite song, America the Beautiful.
Hmm.
Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
That must have been before your day.
I remember him.
You remember Uncle Tom?
Oh, yes, I remember Uncle Tom.
Wasn't he wonderful?
Yes, he was. Yes, I remember him, and I can just remember when he was superintendent.
Superintendent of the Sunday school.
Right.
Do you remember any of the Christmases in the church?
Oh, yes.
And the...
I remember the tree.
The tree in front of the pulpit.
Right.
And while I'm not sure, I have a vague idea that there were buckets of water.
Right.
And
there were candles on the tree.
Yes, live candles.
That's right.
Real, true candles.
I remember that.
And it seems to me, and I may be wrong about this, but I think the deacons passed out the stockings. And they weren't really stockings. They were little packages that had an orange in it. An orange was a great treat.
It was in those days.
In those days. Yep. And something I haven't seen in years, ribbon candy.
Yeah, little boxes of it.
Yes.
Right.
Little boxes of ribbon candy. And there were no, I don't remember much of a program other than passing out those things.
No.
And perhaps singing.
No, I remember the sexton stood there by the tree. And he had a long pole with a sponge on the end.
On the end of it.
Keep it wet.
A bucket of water.
That's right.
Behind the
That's
tree.
Right.
And it was a good thing. I had a thought just then, and it sort of escaped me for the moment, of the people who came to those things and the things we did. A little later in my association with the church, my membership, of course, I grew up, went away to school, and then went away to work and married and moved out to the Middle West. But my roots were always here, and every time I came back, I went to church up there. I never took my membership out. Somehow it was home.
Yeah.
And there was quite a class of us who joined the church at when I did. I think there were 6 or 8 of us. And looking back on it, I have a feeling we were mostly girls. The only boy I remember being in that group that joined at that time was Dick Rudd, Marcia's brother, who died while we were in high school. But the women of the church were pretty active with Upkeep Society. Was your mother involved with Upkeep?
I don't think so. I don't, not that I know of.
Well, my mother got quite involved with Upkeep. She and Miss Hattie Roberts were two people who worked very hard at it. And the first president of that was Mary Williams, who lived in the big house on the corner of Lower Cobble Road and Indian Mount, Undermount Road.
Yeah.
and who later sold that property and built the little cottage behind it. And she was the first president of Upkeep. And Mother and Miss Hattie were the people who sort of prepared the work that the women were going to do, the sewing that the women were going to do ahead of time. And they'd meet at Miss Hattie's or at our house and cut out the material and get it all ready for the sewing. And then, I don't know how often that group met, but it met rather regularly. Mm-hmm. And they'd sew, bring, I seem to remember that they brought sandwiches with them. But one thing I am very certain that they did was Ma Erickson would come down with her sewing machine, electric sewing machine, and two of her boys, and they were young men of course, would bring her down in the farm truck with her electric sewing machine in the back, and they'd lift Ma down out of the cab, and she'd go into the back room at the church, and then they'd lift down the electric sewing machine and carry it in. And you know, that was really quite a task those young men did, transporting their mother and the sewing machine. And then the women sewed for Sharon Hospital, and they sewed for, I seem to remember an orphanage out in the far west, and that they were interested in at that time. And they did good works without preaching about it. We didn't have covered dish suppers because we had no big room in which to hold them, except going over to the town hall, which we did do. We did have covered dish suppers held in the, I'm speaking of the old town
hall. Oh, yes.
Where you could do that sort of thing.
That's right.
I won't make any comment about the present. I think that pretty much covers my memories of the church and the activity. And except one thing that I do have to say about Mrs. Landon, who really, and I was very fond of her and called her Auntie Landon. And as I said earlier, she with Mother Hubbard was my first Sunday school teacher. And because I could learn a piece, and because even in those days I had a voice to carry, I had to speak pieces, innumerable pieces, on Children's Day. Not innumerable pieces, but in unnumbered days that I had to do it. And it was always in the spring, and it was hot, and I always had a new dress, and it had a starched collar, and my curls had to be done just so. And I really didn't like Children's Day and speaking pieces, but I loved Auntie Landon. So, and Mother said I was to learn the piece, and Mother said that, you did it, and that was it. So, years later, after Mrs. Landon's husband had died, she used to go to Florida every winter, for the winter, and she would come and spend the last few days of her stay here in Salisbury in the fall with us while her house was being closed, and then she would stay, come up in the spring and stay with us two or three days while it was being reopened for the summer. And in that reopening period, there was always a Children's Day came up. And she'd say, Elizabeth, will you take me to church? Will you go to church with me tomorrow? Tomorrow's Children's Day. And I said, I'll take you to church, but I won't go to Children's Day. And she said, you won't? Why not? And I said, because all these years I've been telling you, after I said my last piece of Children's Day, I said, that's the last time I'm going to Children's Day. And I've kept my word. So I carefully took her up to church on Children's Day. and left her. I went back for her and she understood. And I think that covers the early years of my memories of the church.
Very good. Very, very interesting. This is Robert Hollister Scribner, age 82, interviewing Mrs. Betty Haas at her home in Lakeville, Connecticut, on June 16, 1993. Betty, now aged 88, was the daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Charles Perkins. She told of her early memories of the Salisbury Congregational Church.